Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
All hyped up the music. It's Thursday. We got a game day today. Rams Vikes should be an interesting one. So, excited to be here with my man, Dane Martinez. We are co-owners of a 3-0 team, so we're excited about that.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. We made no, I hope that didn't make it to air. We got sworn at.
It's our guy, Chris Bavona, down there in the pit of misery. Yeah. He needs a nice autumnal mead.
Yeah, that's right. Dilly dilly. Let's get started, first of all, with a little strange news in Tennessee. I mean, it's a bunch of different ways you can go. But strange news in Tennessee that a guy that some people, as we're getting closer and closer to the season, and as he got healthier, really wanted to see if Rishard Matthews was worth something. I didn't even look at him in any drafts because I just assumed the whole time that it was going to be Corey Davis and it was going to be Delanie Walker and it was going to be Deion Lewis. I thought Rishard Matthews was just an ancillary piece of that offense. Plus, they were going to try and run the ball more. They haven't done yet effectively with Derrick Henry. But nonetheless, it is a guy that I wasn't even really looking at. But here he is demanding trades. I think players are feeling emboldened now in this current environment to just say, I want out of here. I you know what my opinion is on it? I get the sense that guys like Le'Veon Bell and Rishard Matthews, and this isn't a criticism, they're taking cues from NBA players and the way and the manner in which that they're able to engineer the teams they want, the destinations they want, etc.
Yep.
So it'll never be equitable between NFL players and NBA players for very obvious salary cap based reasons and roster size reasons, but I'm getting the sense that that is happening more because of what the way they see their counterparts in the NBA conducting their business.
Yeah, I think that's a very good comparison, Scotty. I mean, excuse me, not Scotty, blew it. Here's the thing. I know, we love everybody here. I made this point. I think it was just it was from my boy, our fantasy best friend forever, Frank Stanfill, because he is so plugged into the NBA. I made this point that with the Le'Veon Bell deal, right? I say, or potential deal. I said that this situation reminds me a lot of Kawhi Leonard. Okay, to be quite honest. And when that trade happened, a few months ago with Kawhi, I was like, I was so impressed with the Spurs because they had no leverage, yet they were able to get an all-star back in DeMar DeRozan in that trade, right? And in the same situation now, the Steelers have absolutely no leverage if they wanted to trade Lev Bell. But you're absolutely right, Blewett. It's this kind of weird thing with the contracts. They're seeing, like, sign-in trades and stuff like that. You know, think about what the Cleveland Browns did with the Houston Texans and Brock Osweiler even, you know, this idea of getting the draft picks. I think you're right. NFL is coming to an NBA model. I don't know if it's the players that are driving this or just people realizing what they can do in terms of the money and the salary cap. But, yeah, I think that's a great point. And I look at the Kawhi Leonard trade as a model.
Just an interesting thing there, an interesting piece of NFL news. You don't see that too often. I mean, Martavis Bryant did it last year, and the Steelers were like, yeah, no, we're not doing that.
And that's the other point, Blewett. Like, you know, Le'Veon Bell does that. Like, he has leverage because he's a generational talent. Kawhi Leonard, the example I made, all right, yeah, because there are going to be people that want him, right? A market. You think that's really the case for
Hell no.
Rishard Matthews, right, that's what I'm saying. Guys, right, like,
change teams in the middle of the year and become productive. And Rashard Matthews is certainly not one of those guys. It just doesn't really work like that.
You have a longer leash when you have great talent. We always say that, right? But I don't know that Rashard Matthews falls in that category.
I would say he does not. But I thought it was an interesting story. Joey Bosa is the other big news there. I heard you talking about it in the previous hour. This injury looks like it's going to extend into week 8 or week 9. As you stated earlier, he obviously could have gone to IR. It might have helped him roster-wise, but I don't think
would have helped my Super Bowl pick, too, Blewett.
Yeah, I don't think he nor the team anticipated that that was going to be such an issue. But now here he is, and I'm going to take a look at their schedule as well over the next few weeks so we can get a sense of exactly what they're going to be looking at. So
I got you. I got it up.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so they got San Francisco this week. Then they're home for the Raiders, at Cleveland, home for the Titans, and then their Week 8 bye. So the games in question, really, three of the four of them are at home. Niners, Raiders, Titans at home, and they go on the road to Cleveland in Week 7.
I mean, it's not tough. It's not that tough. Right. I mean, Raiders and Browns are imminently winnable games. The Niners at home this week, they have to win this game. They can't go to 1-3 losing to C.J. Beathard. The Tennessee game is at home. I would take Tennessee right now, given the way the teams are playing. And Tennessee isn't really even playing well, yet they're 2-1. That's why I'm still encouraged.
They won't have Rashard Matthews.
I don't think they're worried about it. And then Mariota is coming back this week. He's already been named the Week 4 starter. He obviously played the majority of the game last week after Gabbert left due to a concussion, but nonetheless, it is still a big blow. I know what you're talking about. You're trying to angle your team for, you know, getting as many wins as possible to try and get a bye, to try and get home field advantage. But I think it's going to be one of these cases where if they're a really good team, then they'll be clicking on all cylinders in Week 17 regardless of record. Yeah. That's just the way it's going to be.
Listen, the biggest threat to them winning the AFC West is not the Joey Bosa injury. It's Patty Mahomes.
No kidding. But they can't play defense. Look, people are going to throw party for the Chiefs again. It's like the third year in a row. And now they can't play defense. 2 years ago, they could. When I really was on board with the Chiefs a couple of years ago when Alex Smith was the quarterback. And I get it that they're going to throw 30. They're going to put up 30 points on maybe everyone. But they're going to have to at some point as the season progresses come up with some stops.
I don't know if that's true, Blewett. And my evidence is going to be exactly what you ranted about on Tuesday. In the NFL in 2018, do you really even need a defense?
To win
because
in the playoffs.
Because of
the
penalties and all that stuff. I don't know. I really don't know, Blewett. You know, I mean, the way the game is being called, the way the game is being played, they are, in essence, taking defense out of it. You talked about it on Tuesday, Blewett. You know, do you really need a defense if you got a great defense and all it's going to lead to is 15-yard penalties for you anyway?
No, I know what you're saying, but I do think that late in games, getting the team off the field on third down, getting the team off the field on fourth down is, look, there are a wide variety of stats that we can use to prove points in the NFL. We do so on this show. But one stat that doesn't really lie, a couple of stats that don't really lie are turnover differential over the course of the year and third down percentage, what your third down conversion percentage is offensively and defensively. And the teams that get the other teams off the field on third down are by and large very successful. So
yeah, and you know the teams that have good third down getting off the field and turnovers? Teams with a great pass rush off the edge, and that's where Joey Bosa comes in.
Yeah, so that is a big story, but nonetheless, he won't be around for at least the next few weeks. Like I said, they probably would have wanted to know about that, but I don't think it was anything shady by any means. I think it's just taking longer to heal than they anticipated. Everybody knows by now, the Pats have put Rex Burkhead and on IR. That makes it's Sony time, as Dane tweeted yesterday, the day before. Sony Michel should be probably in your starting lineups this week. If you don't have him in there, consider it. One thing, just a little correction, and I'm not doing this to correct you in any particular way, but I want to make sure we're on the same page. You were saying in the previous hour to put these guys in your flex when they have the early games. I would say it the other way. I would want the early guys, like a Dalvin Cook tonight, if you feel good about him playing, put him in your running back spot because that's locked in. For your flex, right. I want more flexibility, wide receiver, running back, tight end. I don't want
to
lock
up the
flex.
Right, the future guys go on your flex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I agree with you. Once you
said it the other way around.
That was my mistake.
I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page.
No. You want to maintain flexibility for the later part of the week.
Yeah, hence the term.
Okay. So absolutely. No. Thank you for that correction. If you get word that Dalvin Cook is active, then yes, you can put him in your running back spot so you maintain that flexibility. My concern, though, tonight is even if he is active, Blewett, like what his usage might be because Lat Murray is still there. And
totally agree. People were ditching Lat Murray. I was looking at transaction trends, and Lat Murray was dropped by a ton of people. I would say it was a little too early for that because we don't know that Dalvin Cook is 100%. Now, the flip side of that is that you can't put Lat Murray out there this week when Cook is playing and they're playing against the Rams on a Thursday. It's maybe the worst possible start for Lat Murray. But I wouldn't ditch him just yet because Dalvin Cook's getting out there and playing tonight, I believe. But he still has some value as for a guy who's still coming off an ACL and he's already missed a game. The reason Lat Murray didn't produce last week isn't because of Lat Murray. It's because they got blown out by the Bills somehow. They got blown out by the Bills. He caught a bunch of passes. They did whatever they could, but they were down 24-0 an hour into the proceedings. So
right. I think he had like two rushing attempts last week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not because let's bail on him after these two carries.
No,
they were losing.
Yeah.
They were losing 24-0 early. Still an amazing outcome. So taking a look at some waiver wire stuff, I've been saying it for a couple weeks, Dane, you have to give me some credit, and I have no idea if he's actually going to produce, but Jake Butt has become popular on waiver wires. People understand that he's the tight end there now. We'll see how much he continues to get used, but I noticed he got picked up in just about every league. I'm just looking at out one of our leagues last night. Jimmy Garoppolo obviously was a very popular drop. Guys that got picked up from Ryan Tannehill, Baker Mayfield, even Andy Dalton in certain situations has become a guy that you can pick up as well. And the Bengals have the Falcons this week. So
I think if people are
playing the stream, I think you're going to go with Dalton over Tannehill, who's in New England. You talked about Flacco a little bit too. Flacco at Pittsburgh. Those games are normally lower scoring, but Steelers haven't really played great defense yet this year. We saw the Bengals get lit up by the Ravens get lit up by the Bengals a couple weeks ago. So their defense not clicking on all
51
cylinders.
Is the total in that game.
Yeah, exactly. So. But the Bengals at the Falcons, 51.5. So I think that's why people might be playing the Andy Dalton stream as opposed to some of the others. Baker, obviously, at Oakland. You know, if you're ranking those guys that I just spit out there, I probably would go with Andy Dalton. I'd want to – I guess the A.J. Green health question is something to consider, and Joe Mixon's still out there. But I think I would probably take Dalton over the rest of that crew. So – other guys, I've seen Christian Kirk get picked up because they assume that maybe the preseason
second
highlights
connection
that we saw is due to Josh Rosen and him both being rookies and maybe working together a lot. Let's see some other guys. Willie Snead, Tyler Eifert was a popular pickup at the tight end position. The tight end position every week is popular for the same reasons that you and I have talked about since August. Mm-hmm. The position's always a mess, and you can stream it however you want. I lost out on Tyler Eifert, but I picked up Jake Butt got picked up. Jonnu Smith was a drop here. Hayden Hurst, I heard Scott Engel talking about that earlier, another popular pickup. So, yeah, man, I was working the waiver wires for tight ends too. I just always am. Vernon Davis I'm seeing picked up here by somebody. Dallas Goedert.
That's interesting because Washington's on a bye. I was going to make the point you may also have Jordan Reed on a bye this week, necessitating a tight end pickup, but people are picking up Vernon Davis on his bye week?
Sometimes people will do that from a strategic standpoint because they know people are off it. They have designs on maybe using Vernon Davis or maybe they have Jordan Reed. A lot of times that can be a little bit of a strategic play for people, and I advocate this. If you have designs on a player right now from the Panthers or Washington, and you have a little bit of room, just pick them up now because you're looking
at
your bench.
I like that too, but
you're looking
not
at
the
your
backup
bench. I know. That I don't quite understand. But maybe the guy's the Reed owner. I'd have to take a look into it. But I do, so in general, we both advocate this. Mm-hmm. You know you're not going to play somebody on your bench this week, and maybe it's a guy that you've been thinking about cutting. If there's a guy that's on a bye or didn't get picked up and he's on a bye next week, stash him for a couple of weeks. He might end up being useful a couple of weeks down the line, and there's going to be nobody on him right now. So something to consider. Beyond that, we got let's see what other pickups we got here. Yeah, nothing that exciting. The Dallas Goedert thing I did see in a couple of my leagues. That was more of a draft. I think it's a pickup and stash kind of thing. Now, the good news is he's got some red zone looks. But target-wise, I don't think it's going to be there. And you got Alshon Jeffrey potentially coming back here soon to steal even more targets. He could end up being like a little bit like Trey Burton was last year, where Trey Burton had some value, but it was difficult to pinpoint the weeks in which he would do it. So I have a trivia question for you, which I was going to hold on to, but we got some time, so we'll do it now.
All right.
There are five guys in the NFL
that
have double-digit targets through the first 3 weeks. All three
Every
weeks
week they've had the double 3 weeks?
Yes, all 3 weeks they've had double-digit targets. There's only five guys. Can you name them?
I promise you I am not going to the internet. Michael Thomas.
Mm-hmm. That's one.
DeAndre Hopkins.
That is two.
Okay. Antonio Brown.
No.
Ooh, that's why he's complaining. That's why he's complaining so much.
Please. He's got to stop that.
Does that mean I'm banged out? Do I lose now, or do I keep guessing? What do we do?
I'll keep guessing. I'll give you a couple more guesses because that's
I get a couple.
That's
of strikes.
One that everybody would guess. Yeah.
Okay, I get a couple of strikes. All right, so I got Thomas already. I got D Hop already. I'm gonna go off the beaten path. Are there any non wide receivers in this group?
Absolutely.
I'm gonna go Alvin Kamara.
No, close.
Oh!
He was 20 this past week, but he was 6 in week 2. Antonio Brown, by the way, only had 9 targets against the Bucs. He had 16, then 17, and then 9. So he's off that list.
All right. So
I'll give you one more. I'll give you one more, and then I'll give you the answers.
One more guess. You know, if it's not Antonio Brown, is it Juju?
Juju only had 8 targets in week 1. So the other guys are Adam Thielen. Okay. Who's at 12, 13, and 13. T.Y. Hilton, surprisingly, had 11, 11, and 10. And then the last one, and it's the reason that I moved over to the trivia question, is Zach Ertz. He had 10, 13, and 10. And it's very good news for Zach Ertz owners that he continues to get targeted at that pace. It's two different quarterbacks that he's played with, but yet they're feeding the ball quite a bit. He might challenge Gronk for that number 2 tight end. I think Kelsey's going to pull away. I think Kelsey's just going to go off for the rest of the year. I really do think that. With that offense, people got panicked after week 1, and then he's annihilating everybody ever since. So we're going to come back. We'll take a look at snap counts in a couple of interesting situations. Can you talk about some of those waiver wire moves? It's Mike and Dane on FST. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build and optimize lineups for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio. If you downloaded the app and you're listening for free, rate us. Subscribe to tell us how much you like us. And if you're hitting us up on Twitter, it's at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds. Man, that's good stuff. That's one of my favorite jams ever. I saw those guys play at Roseland in it's like 25 years ago, and they came out dressed up like Kiss, which I think I've told this to Scott Engel before, which he would have loved. And, you know, the crowd was enhanced. And the guys come out dressed up like Kiss, and safe to say there was some confusion initially, and then Scott Weiland, the departed Scott Weiland, started ripping into one of their songs, and people were like, oh, you guys are just wearing costumes. We get it now. But it's kind of a funny moment. So nonetheless, we'll do a couple of snap counts real quick because Dane and I were talking about some of these situations. The reason we do this is because it's not – you can't always tell the entire story from looking at the box score. You know, we just talked about Lat Murray last week. You look at the box score, you're like, two carries? That guy stinks. But no, they were getting blown out, so they had to go a different direction. But a couple things we wanted to take a look at. So this is so weird. The first one right out of the gate, the Atlanta wide receivers is the first one I looked up because Calvin Ridley has such a huge game. Guess which wide receiver had the most snaps on the team last week?
Oh, well, by the way, you're saying it. It's not Calvin Ridley. I'm going to go with Mohamed Sanu.
That is right. 59 offensive snaps.
It's the new day.
59 offensive snaps. He doesn't even play special teams anymore. Julio Jones with 54 and Calvin Ridley with 42. So I can tell you, throw all that out the window. They needed Sanu in there, obviously, to block, maybe for some running plays. But the reality is I think Calvin Ridley's the number two there. I don't think you have to worry about that too much. I do think there'll be some inconsistency there with him as a rookie, but we've talked about this before. Atlanta's offense is trending way up with a bullet because they've now lost their third defensive starter on the year in Ricardo Allen. They lost both starting safeties for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're
obviously missing Deion Jones, who I think they're designating him potentially to return, but he's out for a long time. So they're not going to make stops. Matt Ryan, as we saw last week, he played his A off. He was unbelievable last week. They lost, and somehow people are still like, "Yeah, Matt Ryan just can't win the big ones." Like, what are you talking about? He threw for five touchdowns. They can't stop anyone. It's not his fault. Anyway. I obviously get defensive of Matt Ryan, but I'll be the first one to tell
you. Good Boston College boy.
Yeah, but I will be the first one to tell you. I've watched his whole career. He is good for a killer turnover. I do not deny that. Evidence is in the Super Bowl, even though I wouldn't really blame it on him, but it is there. And there are many other instances as well. But last week, not on him. That offense is going to be humming all year. And it really could have a monster season. I just sometimes expect inconsistencies out of rookie wideouts. So, Sanu, Jones, Ridley, I think you can feel confident in putting Ridley in your lineup on a week-to-week basis. And I would this week against the Bengals with the 51.5 total. Depending on your options, obviously. You wanted to take a look at the Detroit running backs. Yeah. I think we know which way this is going.
I know.
But I think it's fair to look at this because we're not exactly sure what the LeGarrette Blount workload will be.
And to be quite honest, Blewett,
I
believe, and this may be a longer time in coming, but I believe that Kerryon Johnson has the ability to eventually be a three-down back. I'm interested also in Theo Riddick's snap count. I want to see if over time, even on third downs, even in the two-minute set, even in shotgun, if Kerryon Johnson winds up being in there. If I'm a Theo Riddick owner, I'm really worried that Kerryon Johnson might eat into my pass game opportunity as well.
So here it is, last week. They spread it around pretty much in week two, and they did it again last week. 32 for Kerryon Johnson, 26 for Blount, and 21 for Riddick. Blount got the start again. We'll see if they make a change there. But I think they'll feel comfortable putting the veteran out there and then just change of pace it with Kerryon Johnson after the first series or two. So there you go. Kerryon Johnson did lead the way, but not by much. They were obviously riding the hot hand. He was carrying the ball well. So there you go. The next one you wanted to take a look at was Denver wide receivers because you have some interest in Cortland Sutton, correct?
Yeah, I do. I mean, listen, this guy people thought was like, you know, skill-wise, body-wise, you know, one of the best wide receivers coming out of the draft. He gets there in Denver, and, you know, we've made this point in Dynasty Leagues before, Blewett. I believe DT is on the last year of his contract, and he's been trending down in my and a lot of people's opinion. I wonder, you know, you talk about Jake Butt, right? I wonder if Cortland Sutton is going to start an ascension as well. You mentioned Jake Butt. You got to love all the Broncos this week facing Kansas City with a total of 56 in that game.
Yeah, I wonder if that total comes down again because those super high totals, the Niners Chiefs total got beaten down a little bit. They still went over, right? It was 38-27.
It did. Of all the high totals last week, there were four that were over in the 50s. Only one of them went under, and it was New England-Detroit. Tampa-Pittsburgh went over. I know because I bet the under, unfortunately. That New Orleans-Atlanta game clearly went over, and so did Kansas City-San Francisco. I might be leaning on the under, though, on this Kansas City-Denver game. I think Mahomes going in to Denver on the road, primetime game. I think Denver's going to be up for that. I 56 is just a little ridiculous. I'm looking at the under on this one. I was looking at some of those picks we might make. The under on Monday night. I'm also intrigued by Cincy getting 5.5 on the road in what I think you're right. This kind of could be a shootout, last team with the ball kind of thing. And you mentioned all these Falcons injuries in the back half. I'm intrigued by Cincy plus 5.5. I'd love it if it got to 6, though.
I hate that number, but I know what you're saying. You want those points.
Yep.
Excuse me.
It could be a back and forth kind of game.
So Denver wide receivers you wanted to take a look at.
Yeah.
All right, here it is. Tim Patrick, 2 snaps. Deshaun Hamilton, 15 snaps.
Okay.
But the one you really wanted to find out about. Emmanuel Sanders had the most at 60. Then Demaryius Thomas at 54. Cortland Sutton at 53. So that means they probably ran a lot of three wides. One of the games that I didn't catch last week. And I have to go back and continue to watch some of the
Denver, Baltimore. They were down. They were down by a good working margin for most of that game. So maybe they were playing a little catch up. But I'm encouraged if Sutton and Manny are getting a similar amount, or Sutton and Demaryius Thomas are only one snap away from each other. That's encouraging for me, for Cortland Sutton.
It definitely is. They obviously were running a lot of three wide sets there based on what we were just talking about. So, Philip Lindsay punched somebody in the face. So
this is true.
That's really huge. By the way, so I just mea culpa. I did win this matchup, but I played Philip Lindsay over Calvin Ridley. 35-point swing. I mean, I clearly Philip Lindsay wouldn't have gotten close to that 37, but, you know, here's a pro tip. If you're a rookie and you're fighting for a job and you somehow have found yourself on top of that job, don't go punching dudes in the face. Get kicked
out.
The best of ability is availability, and you definitely
Herman
are not
Edwards
available
says so.
If you punch people in the face. So let's cut it out, and you might have lost your job as a result of it. So let's.
Like, you have grabbed the brass ring. You know, you have done it. You came
out
of
you
nowhere.
You got to go chamomile tea before the game. I don't know.
I don't
but
care what
let's
it
not
is.
Punch dudes in the face.
Yeah, I'm with you, Blewett.
So. That was a bad call. So, all right, one of my websites crashed here, but the last one we wanted to do was Arizona wide receivers because we want to get a sense of what's going on with Christian Kirk. So Larry Fitz, 48 snaps.
Okay.
Chad Williams, 43 snaps. Christian Kirk, 37 snaps. So J.J. Nelson had 6 snaps, but, nothing worth talking about.
No one cares about
so,
J.J. Nelson.
Yeah. So Chad Williams still out there with Christian Kirk. I do know that. So this is a new group with Mike McCoy and Steve Wilks as head coach. Mm-hmm. Over the last few years, Arizona ran as many three wide receiver sets as anybody in football. They ran a lot of them. The Packers ran a lot, obviously, as well. But it is something to consider that guys are out there a lot. I mean, he didn't get outsnapped by much. Fitz at 48, Williams at 43, and Kirk at 37. So something to consider. I do think that there is something there with the Josh Rosen and Christian Kirk connection, but I don't really love it this week. Yeah, I mean,
you do believe in that narrative? That there's like a connection there with these guys?
Because
like maybe they were on the side practice field together with the twos, running with the twos, that sort of thing?
It's more that different quarterbacks are going to have different guys that they feel more comfortable with. I don't think that there's any denying that. Now, if Mason Rudolph comes in for the Steelers, he better be freaking
Washington.
Looking for Antonio Brown. Like, you just, you're just going to do that. And by the way, everybody would. He's the best guy. So, but there are, we do see trends at times where guys are looking for tight ends or guys are looking down the field a little bit more because that's how they feel comfortable. And I think a new guy coming in can change that dynamic. So, do I think it drastically alters the offense? No, because you're running the same offense that Sam Bradford ran. But maybe he feels more comfortable with Christian Kirk than Sam Bradford did. I think that's possible. I'm not stating that's the case, but it's possible. So I think that's why you saw him picked up in some waiver wires this weekend. So there you go. I think Christian Kirk is an absolute possibility for this weekend and is somebody worth at least stashing for now. Waiver wires we did, snap counts we did. Well, let's go to this next thing then, and that is the spotlight games of the week. We've spit out a couple of names, a couple of games for this week, but let me get a sense from you. What's the first game from you that you think you're really interested in watching? Could be from an NFL standpoint, could be from a fantasy standpoint.
I'm interested tonight, Blewett. This Thursday night football game. You know, usually on Thursday night football, we get duds. You know, that's when in years past they were doing the Titans and the Jags and color rush unis and trying to build interest. But this game tonight, Minnesota and the Rams, is definitely one. If you want to save that for later on in the game, in the show, I understand. Miami, yeah. New England is interesting to me. You know, the 3-0 Miami Dolphins go to New England to take on the 1-2 Patriots. Like, if Miami gets a win, and the Patriots are three games back with a heads-up loss to Miami, I think New England all may choke on some clam chowder, like, simultaneously. Yeah. I personally don't think it's going to happen. I think New England comes out and makes a statement and boat races Miami, to be quite honest.
Oh, yeah.
Because
same.
To your point, you know, you've been on this, Blewett. I got to give you props. You've been on this idea of the Dolphins in the heat in Florida in September. Right.
Yeah.
And you've been real big on that. They now leave the global warming haven and go up to New England to face a pissed off Bill Belichick. I'm OK laying the 7 points. I think this one has like 41-17 written all over it.
I should have put my money where my mouth is. They keep throwing out big spreads on New England. It looks like the money
seven
moved
right now.
Over to Miami, but it opened at 7.5. So I'm seeing Westgate. Yeah, it's right around there. Westgate has it at 6.5, but others have it at 7. So
at 6.5, I'm all over
exactly,
it.
Exactly. That's where they do the 6.5. They do the super contest out of the Westgate. So I think
that's the official line right now.
That is 6.5. So
that's so
where it's
juicy.
That's what I want. That's what I want. I want that hook right there. So
yeah.
Anyway, so I do think the Pats will come out and make a statement. I'm with you. I think Gronk having a shout down his meathead brother is added motivation. I heard one of our promos talking about, not sure if Brady wants to be out there. I don't buy it. I think they had an unusually bad game.
That's all this is. They faced the best defense in the NFL on the road in Florida in September. And then they went and faced their former defensive coordinator who really knew, who kept them to something like 37 plays on offense or something like that. It was their lowest play total in like 4 years because their defensive coordinator knew a thing or two. I think these are anomalies. And to think that this is a trend, and we've seen this before. We've seen the Pats go 2-2. Remember that big loss on Monday Night Football to Kansas City a couple years ago? I mean, we have seen this before. I think the Pats started last year 2-2, and they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the last time they lost 3 in a row was 2002, so it's a long time ago. And you're right. Patricia, if there's one thing anybody that watches Tom Brady knows, it's really true for every quarterback, the ways you're going to limit Tom Brady. Get pressure up the middle and collapse the pocket because he's not comfortable moving outside of it, certainly not as comfortable as other players. And number two is just keep him off the field. Just run a ton of plays so that they can't be out there. When the Steelers haven't beaten Tom Brady in forever, but when they did back in the day, it was because they were keeping him off the field. When Miami beats him, it's because he's not on the field as much. And Detroit was smart to run it the way they did. They were barely on the field in the first quarter. They couldn't get into a rhythm, and it played out the way it played out. But I think this is much ado about nothing. I think people are trying to write stories and say, Tom Brady, I don't know if he wants to be out there. Yeah, he doesn't look good, but he's human. He's not unbeatable, and I think they'll get into a little bit of a rhythm here. The fact that he doesn't have Edelman, and he and Gronk haven't been clicking just yet since week one, I'm not panicked about it, but I'm with you. So let me go to one of mine. I think Eagles-Titans is an interesting one here because you have Mariota coming back. You got Carson Wentz yet another week where he's a little bit healthier. By the way, we will talk Rams-Vikings in the third segment, but that Philadelphia at Tennessee game. Philadelphia is a 4-point favorite on the road. So Tennessee, a 4-point home dog. Tell me that that doesn't look good. They're my Super Bowl pick. I think they're 2-1. I think they're 2-1, and they haven't played well at all yet. I think they could get this one here, and people are like, hey, how about the Titans? I think it could happen. I mean, they won a close one against two divisional opponents. They're 2-0 in their division now. They obviously lost to the Dolphins in week one. That doesn't
two
look so
weather
bad
delays.
Now.
Two weather delays.
Two weather
delays
in that
now, game.
By the way.
They lost Mariota.
It's a close 7-hour game in the fourth quarter, and they lost their starting quarterback, their starting tight end, and the team they lost to is 3-0.
They gave them a kickoff return for a touchdown in that game,
right.
Too.
That's right. Yeah, that's basically what decided the game, is that kickoff return. So I think that one is interesting. People are going to be all over Philly because they're the champs, and they got Carson Wentz back, and I'm doing the not-so-fast Lee Corso move. I think this can be an interesting one to see who the Titans actually are.
I agree with that. I actually see it at 4.5 over at mybookie.ag right now. Tennessee as a road, excuse me, as a home dog, 4.5. Also, listen, Blewett, the Eagles are 2-0 at home and are 0-1 on the road. Like, non-conference road games is tough in any environment. That's a stay away from me. I don't know if I'm going to bet it. That's a kind of pass for me. But I could definitely see that happening. And that puts the Titans potentially at 3-1. And in that division where a lot of people like Houston and they're winless, Tennessee continues to compete even despite the concerns at quarterback and losing their tight end for the year.
We've already talked about Bengals at Falcons and Chiefs at Broncos. Yep. Those two games with very high totals. I think the Falcons really need this one, though. I would be picking the Falcons there.
Really?
And Chiefs, yeah. I will be picking the Falcons in that one.
You lay the points?
It's a lot to lay. Let's talk about it after the break.
All right.
I'll figure it out during the break and decide what I would do there. So it's Dane and Mike will be back right after the break on FSD. It's a Thursday game day edition.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events, where you can make your play at any time during the game. So BetDSI is now offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit if you use promo code FNTSY. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over to BetDSI and start winning today. So the one last game I wanted to mention before we get to Rams-Vikes, I guess we did talk about it. Chiefs-Broncos, Bengals-Falcons. You were saying to me during the break that 5.5 spread. Yeah. I don't want to touch
Cincy,
it.
Atlanta.
Yeah, the Broncos and Ravens last week stayed at that, in that wheelhouse, 5.5 all week. It never moved up to 6 or down to 4 or 3. And I normally will just stay away from games like that. Vegas doesn't really know, the public doesn't really know, and I probably don't have a good feel for it. And then the Ravens won by 11.
You know, it's funny, Blewett. I just refreshed my page. We have a line movement over on mybookie.ag. Literally in the last 5 minutes. Yeah, maybe. Literally in the last 5 minutes. The Falcons have gone from -5.5 to -5.
Still not
so
enough.
I guess there's late money. There's money coming in on the Falcons. Maybe you are moving the line with your take, Blewett. But I got to tell you, I'm on Cincinnati in this one. I think this to me has last team with the ball written all over it. I think both of these teams will be able to move the ball and score. We saw what Matty Ice did in the Dome. I just think Cincinnati is a better offensive line, a better offense, and we've talked about the back seven injuries in Atlanta. I'm on an Andy Dalton, Tyler Eifert stack in DFS this week, and I give me 5 points in a game that I expect to be high scoring. The total has also just moved up to 52.
There we go. What's the Giants total at right now? Giants Saints.
I'll tell you that. Giants 50. Saints is a high one. Yeah. Giants Saints is a high one. I got it at 50.5 right now. Giants home dogs +4. That's an interesting win to me. I got, I have Saquon and Kamara in my DFS lineup this week. Blewett, if I told you, if I set an over under, if I was making my own prop, combined catches for Alvin Kamara and Saquon Barkley, if I set the line at 22.5.
That's too much.
Really? I don't know. One of them could get 14. Then all the other one needs is 8.
I know.
What do you think it's going to be then?
It'll probably be close. I can't say it's going to be 23 catches. I can't.
Right, I
can't say they're going to average double-digit catches. I just can't
Over the last 2 weeks, they have.
I get it, but I can't go into. I can't hold that ticket and feel confident about it. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
I could have them both in my DFS lineup though and feel confident about it. I'll tell you that.
So we talked the other day about how playing quarterback is easier than ever.
Yeah.
There's six guys with over 70% completion percentage. And one of them is a guy that I feel currently is the most underrated guy in all of fantasy football. By the way, Eli is one of them. How about that for a number?
Yeah, if you could keep him upright and
Drew
clean,
Brees,
he could hit
Brees
guys.
At 80%, 80.6%. Derek Carr at 76%. I bashed him early, so he's making me eat my words. But a lot of that was the second game of the year against Denver, where he completed 90% of his passes. Eli Manning at 73%, Ryan Tannehill at 73%. I think people are understanding that he's playing well. Fitz, we all know about that, 70.3%, and Jared Goff tied with Fitz at 70.3%. And that's the guy that I wanted to talk about. All he's doing right now is completing 70% of his passes. He's got six touchdowns and two picks, 941 yards, almost 1,000 yards through three games. They're not asking him to reinvent the wheel, but the guy's going out there and balling. We talked about this during the preseason. There were three guys in the QB2 range, even four, that we thought could definitely be QB1s. One is Matt Ryan, and I'm telling you, if you didn't listen, it's your fault. I have Matt Ryan everywhere. I put my money where my mouth is, and he is going to be potentially a top five quarterback this season. We talked about him a lot. And he's currently like the seventh quarterback. We talked about Mariota a little bit. He's hurt early. We'll see how he can progress in the latter three quarters of the season. But the other guy was Jared Goff. Jared Goff was hanging in around 15, and we said wait on quarterbacks and wait on quarterbacks. And this is the reason, because he could have gotten Matt Ryan and Jared Goff is killing it right now.
Blewett, it's even more than that. We were talking about waiting on quarterback, right? And then in that kind of, we were talking about that 8 to 13 range, and we were talking about guys like Stafford and Rivers and Luck and Wentz. Three names that we did not even mention in that tier that we had lower, where, as you said, Matt Ryan, who's right now QB4, is Jared Goff, who, to your point, right now is QB8. And another name that was in that tier below those guys were Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. You know, so you could have waited on quarterback. We were saying that, and you could have wound up with Goff. You know, Goff, Ryan, Mahomes, all the more reason, fitting our narrative, proving our case, you wait on quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mad at myself that I didn't pick up Goff somewhere along the line. I have a team where I have Luck and Wentz. I don't even feel good about that right now. I understand that one guy's just coming back, but I don't feel great about it at the moment, and, you know, for obvious reasons. Both guys are not 100% healthy, so I probably could have gone a different route when it came to that. But nonetheless, what do we got on the spread tonight for tonight's game, Dane?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one to me, okay, because you get a hook, Blewett. It's the Rams are -7.5. To me, giving Minnesota 7.5 is too much.
And the over?
49.5.
49.5. I said during the break, I'll take the under here. I think you got teams that are a little banged up right now. The Vikes are coming off a really weird game. The Rams are flying high, and I do think they'll win. But I'm just a little worried about the points. I think this could be the first Thursday night game where we start to see the impact of injuries and the lack of rest for players. Jared Goff last week was 29 of 36 to my point for 354 and three scores with a pick, 123.8 rating. He's the third QB in NFL history with 350 passing yards and a 75-plus percent completion percentage in consecutive games. I'm telling you, he's playing his ass off. And that's indicative of it. 350 and a 75% completion percentage? Sign me up. So he's looking for his fourth in a row at home with a 100 rating. You know, the Vikings got this Everson Griffin thing going on. Dalvin Cook's going to be out there. He's not healthy. They just got blown out by everybody's consensus worst team in football. It's a little bit of a hard one to read, but I think it'll be a little bit of these teams feeling each other out with their better defenses. So I can see a Todd Gurley night being not super efficient, but productive just based on volume.
Yeah, two things on this one. I agree with you on some level. I like the Rams to win the game, but not cover the spread. I could see this being a kind of 24-20 kind of game. But it sounds, Blewett, one other thing. You mentioned the kind of banged upness. I hate to do this. I hope I am wrong, Mike. But I'm concerned about Dalvin Cook starting this game and not being able to finish this game, re-aggravating something. The Thursday night football kind of thing. I'm concerned with his workload. I know you got to, in season long, you got to start Dalvin Cook if he dresses and he's active, you know, because he's one of your quote-unquote studs.
I had that in my league.
I would be worried about Dalvin Cook. You know, people re-aggravate injuries when they're not 100% or fully recovered, and they're riding him out there on a short week, Thursday night football against Sue and Donald. I have a bad feeling about Dalvin Cook tonight. The other thing I would ask you, though, we said the total is 49.5, Mike, and you said it sounds like you expect this to be one of these clunkers. We make our official three picks on tomorrow's show. Do you want to make your under pick tonight, one of those three picks? Because you'd have to get it in now.
Sorry to put pressure on you,
you know, but like,
yeah, I'll do
if
that.
you gotta declare it now if that's what you want. It sounded, it just sounded you felt strongly about it, you know.
That's a fair point. I'll do it now because that game can be 28-20. It's 49.5. It could be 28-21, which isn't terrible, and I'm still under. So
it can be.
I'll take
just saying, that. If you want the Thursday night game, you got to declare it now. And so you are in fact saying that Vikings Rams tonight will go under. And we see it at the same thing, 49.5?
Yes.
All right, fair enough. What do you think about this Dalvin Cook? You say you have him in on a team, right? Yeah. Like, do you agree?
Well, my hands are tied.
You got to start him, but.
Yeah, my hands are tied, too, because Chris McCaffrey's on bye. So I have less depth than I would otherwise have. So my starting running backs in that league right now are Dalvin Cook and Sony Michel. I got Philip Lindsay on the bench. I got Marlon Mack. It's a keeper league, so I got Marlon Mack out there. Yeah. He's not doing anything for me.
In PPR, would you go Lindsay against that Chiefs, man? That they're going to be points scored.
To bench Dalvin Cook?
I know, Philip Lindsay? I don't think I would do that either, but I'm just saying that would be the choice if you were that concerned about Dalvin Cook, right?
Yeah, if I was that concerned, that would be the case. And obviously I'll track this during the day, and if he trends away from playing, then I got to make that move, which is terrible because I will have to start Lindsay.
At least you like the matchup against the Chiefs, though, a lot of points.
Yeah, I'd have to feel confident about it. If he didn't punch people in the face last week, I'd feel even better.
Right.
So that's my team right now that's struggling. It's just not going my way early. I have Matty Ice and Calvin Ridley, who I benched last week. But I'm 2-1, but I don't like the 2-1. Do you know what I mean? It's a soft 2-1, and I feel like I got lucky last week by benching a guy with a 35-point deficit on the guy that I played him for.
Would you rather be, as you described, a soft 2-1 or like 1-2 but with decent points?
I'd rather be the 1-2 with the points because I feel like I'd be going in the right direction. So we got hardly any time here. Thielen, we know he's been a target monster. He had 14 catches last week. So you like the Vikings to at least keep it close, but the Rams to win the game. But here's my big question for you. Who's the Rams wide receiver that's going to see the action?
You never know. I call it the fantasy herd. You know I call it the fantasy herd, and this is exactly why. It's a crapshoot. You know, give me Cooper Kupp. Give me Cooper Kupp. Because at least he seems to get red zone targets for me. So give me Cooper Kupp.
And we got both corners for the Rams are out, right? Peters is declared out.
Right. He's not declared out, but we think he's not going to play. And Minnesota has two good cornerbacks also. Vikings have good corners also, so give me the slot guy, Cooper Kupp.
I don't think Adam Thielen on the other side, just because I feel like he'll be able to get open in the middle. Mark Maron's still hurt for the Rams. So we'll talk to you tomorrow on Football Friday. It's Dane Martinez and Mike Lewitt out for FST. Good luck tonight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.